when preachers said that, then they say that God, that Christians now don't do anything. God, they say God wants them to prosper. They're just talking. I thought it was a human being, you know what I mean, like spiritual person that, do you follow what I'm saying? That wanted to learn the word of God. So I went ahead to explain to him. Along the line, something dropped from my mouth. I told him what I did. You know, so it was in the course of gist. I noticed that he sank. I told him that I'm a university lecturer and a hospital consultant. So you can be sure, I'm not trying to tell people not to do anything. But what he didn't understand, I was trying to explain to him that. But you see, you must set the standard because, listen, if God didn't want us to prosper, why do I go to work? I don't know whether I get my point. If God didn't want us to prosper, why did we do spiritual, economic, empowerment, and development strategies? If God does not want us to prosper, why do we pray to know his will concerning how to live our lives so that we'll be productive? Listen, the word of God does two things. Number one, it empowers you. It's a blessing. The Bible says God blessed them saying, did he teach them the method of prosperity? No. He just said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion. He said it and left. That word began to teach them how to farm. I don't know what I heard I said. The word became flesh and dwells amongst us. The word began to explain things to them. The word of God, that's one thing. It's an empowerment. A blessing is an empowerment to succeed. It is. The second thing the word does, let me quickly say it, is that it raises that standard that you keep looking at. You keep looking at it. If you go around, I told a friend of mine once, we were talking, and I said that the word, that Christianity is not pick and choose. I say it is pick and choose. I pick what God gives, I choose what God gives, and I'm careful to avoid the one that Satan is giving. After all, when they went to sow wheat at night, what happened? The enemy came and sowed tares there. And they said, an enemy has done this. In Christianity, I'm careful not to pick what the enemy is giving to me, but to pick only that which God is giving. Despite what I see around. Because it's not everything you have an explanation for. Jesus died at what age? But there was an explanation. But he didn't say it's a blessing that all my children, once I say three, go and buy a rope, hang if I don't kill you myself. He didn't say that. John died at the same age, you know that. If I'm a little younger, maybe he must have been like around 30. Because, of course, we know he was about the same age as Jesus, all right? Because his mother was pregnant when the angel visited Mary. We know the story. And he died at the beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ. So he was about the age of 30. And people say he did not know certain things. That was why. I don't know. But one thing I do know is that, in fact, I think I know. I know that it's not true that he did not know certain things. It's not true. It's not true. I think that he lived the course. God sent him down to do a short and fast assignment. Pam, pam, pam. He did it. Be a forerunner. Do you understand? Okay, have you finished for running? He said, yes. The person I'm running in front of him has taken the baton. He said, all right, let's go. Let's go. And with God, if God wants a man to go and is killed for the sake of truth, God, he does, in fact, he likes it. Yeah. If a man is killed, now listen, because of the truth of the gospel, for that reason, in fact, he has a special crown. So God said, let's go. He said, no, don't kill him. Don't let him not die suddenly. Let's not Moses him. He said, so that the sin of Herod will be full. Give him to Herod. So they gave him to Herod, and Herod removed his head. And God was happy with it. But the point I'm making is that there was nowhere he promised that his children should please pray, and I will do what they want by making them live to be the age of 32. He never said that. The only promise I have to, I've read one, with long life I will do what? Satisfy. That is the usual and the normal. You want that age of 33? Please make sure you are going to save the world. Yes? You want to die at 30? Make sure the person who's coming after you will save the world. If you ain't going to save any world, then please try and live longer. Yes? Ask the Lord for it. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the man was asking, listen, the truth is that we must know what God wants so we can set our eyes on it. Please, I hope you're following the point I'm making. Quickly, Isaiah chapter what? 65. From verse 17, he said, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. And the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind." He said, "But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem for rejoicing, and her people for gladness. I will also rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. And there will no longer be heard in her the voice of weeping and the sound of crying." He said, "No longer will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his days. For the youth will die at the age of 100, and the one who does not reach the age of 100 shall be thought accursed." Now let me quickly read something. This same thing from the New Living Translation or Good News, one of the two. But I want to just bring out something. I like the way it renders it. He said, "No longer will babies die only a few days old. No longer will adults die before they have lived a full life." That's the word again, full life. "No longer will people be considered old at 100. That's New Living Translation. "Only sinners will die that young." Did you see that? What did he say? "Only sinners will die that young." People say, no, this is after, in the millennium, in this, listen, there's one word you should notice, he said they will still die. So it cannot be in heaven. It cannot be in the, maybe after the resurrection and saints are now living on the earth. No, the word you notice here is that there will still be sinners. And there will still be death. So he cannot be talking about the time when death has been done away with. He couldn't have been talking about that. Because he said, one, there will still be sinners. Two, there will still be death. And you see, you know, there's something I said. I was listening to one of our messages. I didn't even know I said it. I said, errors from Revelation. What I mean is this. Oftentimes, Christians look at the book of Revelation. They are living in the days described by Revelation. But they are saying in the end, I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Yes, and it's very, very common. In fact, I was just listening to, I don't know which of the messages we preached here some time ago. And I said that, one day I'm going to discuss it. And I think I should still do that. I'm going to read this from Rick Joyner. Rick Joyner said he studied. And many of these people are saying happened maybe like 200 years ago. And they are still waiting for it. Go and study Rick Joyner, Shadow of Things to Come, or the Prophetic Vision for the 21st Century. One of the two things. One of the two books. He explained that some of these things that he studied and realized that this is already taking place. You get what I'm saying? Now, just to go back to this. So this can't be talking about after resurrection when everything has become new and death has been done away with. No, because he's saying clearly to us here, people will still be dying, true of us. And there will still be sinners. There will still be people who are accursed if you use the New American Standard. So he said, no longer will the man at the age of 100 and be considered old. I like let's just look at the life of these people we mentioned earlier. Jacob, Isaac, Abraham. You couldn't have come to the house of Jacob. In fact, let me tell you something. I was reading the Bible said that his sons, when Isaac died, they said his sons, Esau and Jacob, buried him. How old was he? 180. Right? Yes, he was 180. That's what the Bible says. If you remember, he was 40 years old when he married Rebecca. And for the first 20 years, he did not have a child. So he entreated the Lord for his wife Rebecca's sake, and she conceived. So he was 60. The boys who came to bury him were 120 each. You couldn't have said you are going for a funeral of somebody who was 100 years old, and Isaac and Jacob were considered a man old. They say, what happened? Was he sick? That's the kind of question they'll be asking you. They shoot him. That's what they'll be asking. Because they just came from the funeral of their father, and the man was 180. And that's because the man gave birth to them very late. You are getting the point I'm making. So this prophecy definitely is not for one time that is supposed to come at one time. And like I said to you again and again, let nobody deceive you. You are facing Middle East and praying for one piece of land called Jerusalem. Meanwhile, your surname is Jerusalem. Oh, I pray you will get my point. Your nationality is Jerusalem. That is, when the Lord is looking to the earth and said, this one was born in her, he was talking about you. You are the one born in Jerusalem. We pray for the ministry. If any country wants to prosper, it should have diplomatic relations with people who don't believe in Jesus Christ. There's a way we behave, and we are telling God he does not know what he's doing, or we don't believe in the person Jesus Christ, or his ability to cleanse. That's what I'm going to explain. There's a way we behave. We stay somewhere, we'll be saying, you see, if a nation wants to prosper, it should try and have diplomatic relations with that nation of Israel. And it makes me laugh. Because the people as are today, I don't know about tomorrow, I'm talking about when. Today, they say Israel shall be saved. That means they are not yet saved. Praise God. That is, today, as are today, they still say as a unit that Jesus is not the Son of God. And you are saying my prosperity depends on agreeing with them. You smoke? I'm going to explain something. Tell Nigeria, if you want to prosper, defend the Christians anywhere they are. That is praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Because when they say nationality, that's Jerusalem. You're getting the point I'm making? What am I saying? So when God is speaking here, behold, I create Jerusalem for rejoicing. That is, I create the unique people on the earth so that their lives will be different. They will be like the children of Israel were in Egypt. When they say the life expectancy, WHO will tell you that in the continent of Nigeria, maybe like 52. What do they mean? They check all the people who are dying. What's their age? They found an average. In Zimbabwe, at the time, it was 43. The Bible says that I create Jerusalem for what? Rejoicing. That anyone that's in her should not have that same testimony. They should routinely live long. It should be routine. Please, I hope you're getting my point. It should be what? Routine. It should be routine. It shouldn't be with for them as it is with those who are around. Say, I create Jerusalem for what? For rejoicing. That is, the problems around shouldn't be their testimony. Listen to me. When they were in Egypt, the people of Israel had a different health testimony. When it came to delivery, they had a different testimony. When it came to length of days, that was why when Pharaoh saw Jacob, he said, Diopa, how far? What's going on? How old are you, sir? Guy said, I'm 130 years old. Hey, don't be impressed, he said to him. I have not yet lived as long as my fathers. 10 years ago, I just buried my father. That's what he was telling Pharaoh. That 10 years ago, I buried my father who had me when he was 60. He told Pharaoh, I'm not that old yet. By the time they were kidnapping Isaac and Joseph, Isaac was still alive. Abi? Yes, he was still alive. For them, they stepped into the place, their things were different. And listen, let me tell you something. Was Pharaoh a fool? That is the Pharaoh that wanted to exterminate the Israelites. Was he a fool? Naturally speaking, was he a fool? Think about it and answer me. Was he a fool? Did he have wise people around him? Let me ask you, if their things were normal, why did those women go and use the fact that the Israelites used to deliver fast as an excuse? Why not that it was reasonable? When they said, kill all the males. And they said, sir, you know them. Before we get there, they don't burn. That is, it was common knowledge in Israel that those people, in Egypt, those people, they are not normal people. Though. That was why those people could concoct that kind of story and expect to be believed. Because they discovered, no, really, because in medicine, we see things like that. They said, this particular disease, they will always give you the prevalence in different ethnic groups. Their diseases are not found amongst whites. Do you understand? Now we're talking about sickle cell disease. White people don't know what they're talking about. They're not used to it. It's just found in blacks and Asians. But their disease, you hear of Niemann-Pick's disease. You will never see it. practice in Nigeria for 100 years. You won't see one. Tay Sachs disease. Now ask your medical friends what I'm talking about. What I'm trying to say is that even in Egypt, they knew that the prevalence of this disorder amongst Egyptians is this. Amongst those people that live in Goshen, this is it. That was why they could go to Egypt, to the Pharaoh and say, okay, you know them. This shrinkage of pelvis and all of that, you know, we know they find amongst them. Before we reach there, he said, in fact, the women, they contract once. Boom! The baby comes out. And Pharaoh believed it. Why? It was not normal for those people to have the same testimony as Egyptians. That's what they meant when they said, I create Jerusalem for what? For rejoicing. What am I doing? I'm lifting up our eyes to the level of the Word of God so that we'll have our expectations like God wants us to have them. We won't have our expectation based on experiences. Are you getting my point? We'll have our expectations based upon the Word of God. That's what our expectation must be in. That must be the standard. And that's what we are doing. What does God say concerning the length of your days? He said, with long life, I will do what? Satisfy you. Let me prophesy. It's a matter of fact. If as a church, we continue to focus on the Word. And listen. This is digression, but the problem with the Church of Christ today is that we easily get sidetracked into things that are not the Word of God. That's the problem. I was with this man today, Larry Bucket, in his book, Business by the Book. And he said something that, in fact, I just scribbled on the side. The summary of it is that he mentioned names. In fact, he didn't hide it. He said, this is why I'm angry with a particular big Christian television network, all right, of his, not now, not in recent times, some time ago, that they said this, and he wrote it there, he mentioned the name. He said, they give the church a wrong impression concerning the truth of what the Word of God says. Now, I'm going somewhere, I quoted him. When he said it, my mind went to many things. I said, this is a problem we have in the body of Christ. We are not preaching the true gospel. We are not. Have you been to TV, and you see churches, it's food. Today I have a special guest with me to talk to you about how to eat and how not to eat. I feel bad. I'm not saying it's bad though. Do you understand my point? I have my opinion on diet. But you won't see me mount this pulpit and be telling you the advantages of aloe vera and ugu leaf. No? God forbid. No. I will say to you, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. When you go out, you will know which leaf to chop. Look, I'm not saying health talk is not good. But from this pulpit, no. I won't be discussing which food to eat. We'll go on international TV and that's what we're doing. We're not raising... And what we're trying to do is that we are trying to fight the problems in the society without raising the standard to the standards of God. Do you follow my point? I think I'm going to prophesy. If we stop doing that and we focus without trying, oh God, please get my point. If we did that without trying, it may take a few generations. Are you getting my point? But the time will come, it will be unusual for Christians to die before the age of 100. Amen. And any society they live in, the life expectancy will naturally increase. The things that kill people will leave them alone. So what about accidents? One way or the other, the roads will become repaired, the people will drive safer. All those many factors will rearrange to conform with the fact that God says now they are going to live to a minimum of 100. That's the way it works. It is not Christianity to say today, what we are going to do is to discuss how to drive so that we don't die early. When you are driving, look left, look right, and right again. I'm not saying those things are not important. But not from here. Do you follow my point? Some of you join Federal Road Safety. Where's Roque? Special Marshal. He can go and organize Special Marshal seminar and we'll go there. But first of all, we must prophesy the Word of God. That's what I'm saying. First of all. Then every other thing starts cooperating. They start cooperating to ensure that that which has been prophesied as the Word of God comes to pass. You will live long.
Amen.
I say you will live long.
Amen.
Let me just stop the message there. I still have things to say, but let me stop it here. You will live long.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Every disease that kills people in their youth and prevent them from fulfilling the plan of God for their lives, they are crushed in your life in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I don't care what the doctor said concerning your heredity. Even though the body be dead, be subject to death because of sin, yet the spirit will give it life because of righteousness.
Amen.
Hearing is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, faith in Christ Jesus. Because you are of faith in Jesus Christ, your spirit, the spirit of Christ in you, is giving life to your mortal bodies in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You will not die young.
Amen.
I speak to your kidneys, receive life in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You know, we said 2 weeks ago, old age is not a disease. I've seen a man tell me once that I don't want to live beyond the age of 65. I said, why? He said, you now become sickly. Sickly, what nonsense are you talking about? At 65, you will be old and your brain will be young like you were still in your 20s in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Your testimony will be like that of Moses.
Amen.
It was 120 years. And God said clearly he didn't die because he was sick. That's the summary. He said his eyes were not dim and his strength did not abate. Your strength will not abate in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, let me say it again. I am not saying the doctors or whoever he said doesn't know what he said. I am just saying that what he knows is inferior to what your experience will be. Because of the life-giving power that is in the spirit of Christ Jesus. That will be your portion if you say amen to this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
It is well with you.
Amen.
Please, don't leave me lonely when I'm 100 years old. Did you hear what I said? I want to be able to tell stories of what happened that time when we were in Top Floor, number 1, HM Avenue. I said, phone Israel. Ask him whether what I'm saying is not true. Do you follow the point I'm making? I don't want anybody to say that. Pastor, you're the only one that remembers. No. Everybody will be alive and well and their brains will be sharp too.
Amen.
Tap your brain. Say, old age is not the disease. Your brain will not shrink in Jesus' name.
Amen.
It can't shrink. It cannot in the name of Jesus. All the shrinking problems, I command those problems to shrink.
Amen.
Let them be shrunken with their own shrinking abilities. But you will live long.
Amen.
You will be strong.
Amen.
Listen, at the age of 100, you will still be lending money to your great-grandchildren for their business.
Yes,
sir. So you are going to a new line. How much does it require? You phone somebody, give that boy 3.5 billion. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And listen, on top of that, your great grandchildren will so prosper. Christmas time, are trouble for your house. You know what I mean by trouble?
Amen.
Gifts will be jamming each other.
Amen.
They will be jamming each other.
Amen.
Very soon, your neighbors will know that Christmas time, don't buy anything. Grandpa's children are coming. They will know. And they line your whole street with 25 cows. You become a modern day temple of Solomon.
Amen.
They sacrifice a thousand burnt offerings.
Amen.
And all your neighbors, they will be glad. They won't want you to die. You want this Christmas to die? I said, that will be your testimony in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we give you thanks. It's been a beautiful day.